Hi and welcome to Create English. My name's Gabor. You're listening to Ripollet Radio. And, well, this is our program in May 2015. Let's see what we've got for today. We are starting off with pronunciation. Then I will talk about some frequent grammar mistakes that Spanish speakers make in English. We're also going to find out the answers to various questions I asked you in the previous program. Then we're going to do some grammar. And in the kids' block, there will be a song to learn and practice with the days of the week, plus a conversation comprehension exercise and a folk tale. So I hope you find this interesting and have fun learning. Let's get started. By the way, in this program, I'm going to speak super, super slowly. Okay, let's begin. Well, today I thought we could do a sound, which is... actually, it's not very important in terms of understanding, but it's got some peculiar character that would be interesting to look at. And this sound is the R sound in English, which Spanish speakers tend to say in a different way, in their way, which is the sort of rolling R sound, okay? And in English it is supposed to be a softer version of the R, okay? And we're going to do some practice for this. I'll try and roll the R sounds and make you see the difference between the Spanish and the English way. So here we go. The first word would be claro. Second word would be programar. Third one, presentar. And the fourth word would be carrera. I don't know what you would say. I think it was kind of okay. Now, let me see. I'm going to say some words in English in which the letter R is written and the sound R is pronounced in three of them, actually. At least in British English. So, the first word is rice, rice, arroz. Second, practice, practice, practicar. The third one is tower, tower. Now, in this one, the R is just simply silent. And cream, cream. You've got it there at the beginning. That's crema, yeah, and tower was la torre. So, instead of saying rice, practice, rice and practice, and instead of saying tower, you say tower, and instead of cream, cream. So what can we do to soften the rolling R sounds? Well, I was thinking, when you're really sleepy, right? Like, you know, you're tired and sort of midway yawning. You know what yawning is when you do this, like, yeah, this is yawning. Now, let's take, I'd like to look at an example in Spanish first. A simple exchange between two people. One says, like, ¿Ha llamado alguien? Like, you know, has anyone called? ¿Ha llamado alguien? And the answer would be, sí, creo que Clara. Now, in a, you know, in a normal situation, this would sound like, creo que Clara. But when you're yawning because you're tired or whatever, then it would sound something like this, I think. Si,
creo que claro.
Okay, did you get that one more time? So, si,
creo que claro.
All right, so let's wake up. Let's not go to sleep yet. But this was only to show you that in Spanish, you can also use a soft r sound. You just need this particular situation when you're actually yawning or half yawning at the same time. Now, in English, you don't need to yawn to do this because it really happens most of the time. And you just don't roll the r and you say this softer r sound. So, good luck with it, and go ahead and practice it. Okie doke, let's move on. I'm going to read out three words in a row, and you will have to decide which vowel sound is different. Two will be the same, and one different. The first one is hair, here, dear. Second, near, clear, pair. Third, shake, check, bake. And the fourth, tame, time, fame. Let's see the answers. In the first set of three words, hair, the first one was different. Air versus ear. In the second set of three words, the last one was different. Pair. So the vowel sound was air versus ear again. In the third one, the middle one was different, check. So the sound was e versus a in the two other ones. And in the fourth set of words, also the middle one, time, was different with I in it versus a in the other two. And to finish this part of the program, we're going to look at some word stress. That is, where you put the stress in words in English. There will be two, three, and four syllable words. And you've got to decide where the stress falls in each one. So the first set are common, concert, control. Now here, control is different from the other two because the stress is on the second syllable, the main stress, yeah? While in the other two, it's on the first syllable. Second set of words, these will be three syllable words. Recording, surprising, interesting. Well, here, interesting, the third word is different again. That's where the stress falls on the first syllable, interesting, while in the other two it's on the second syllable in the middle. Four syllable words are category, entertaining, university. Well, here, category, the first one is the different one because it's where the stress falls on the first syllable, while in the other two on the third syllable, entertaining, university. Yeah, we're done with the pronunciation part.
Create English today. Go for English. Create English.
This is Create English on Ripollet Radio. My name is Gabor. I do this program to help learners of English with their vocabulary, grammar, and whatever they might find interesting in this program. Create English! So, let's take a look at some grammar here. I usually pick my examples from my experience with Spanish or Catalan speakers who learn English and who sometimes confuse things that are similar but still different in English. And, well, this is one of the reasons why they confuse them, I suppose. There would be four things that I would like to mention today. First is when you say that you recommend something, learners tend to say recommend somebody to do something. And this in English is not really the way to say this idea, to express this idea. So take this example. She recommended me to buy shoes in this shop. Me recomendó comprar zapatos en esta tienda. Now, while in Spanish you say recomendar a alguien hacer algo, in English you would say it differently. So instead of saying she recommended me to buy, you would say she recommended buying shoes in this shop. Or you could say she recommended that I buy shoes in this shop. This would be less common probably. But the gerund form, buying, would be a good choice. So she recommended buying shoes in this shop. Second thing, this afternoon I will go to the gym. This afternoon I will go to the gym. Now, if it's this afternoon, then this is what we call, like, you know, near future. And it's not only near future, but it's planned future. I mean, you know what you're going to do. So in this case, we usually use the going to form or the present continuous form. So you would say this either this way: this afternoon, I'm going to go to the gym. Or simply, this afternoon, I'm going to the gym. But not will, because will would be used rather for, you know, less certain future. Well, among other things and other examples, but this would be like the basic difference. So in this case, stick to going to. It's a good choice for planned future and planned near future. Next point, do you remember that you did last weekend? Do you remember that you did last weekend? Well, instead of that, you're supposed to use what here. And the last example would be, I don't use to travel by bus. And the intended meaning is that I don't usually travel by bus. So, normalmente no voy en autobús. No suelo ir en autobús. But in English, use to. First of all, it's written with D at the end. So, U-S-E-D. And it's pronounced as used to. And it refers to the past. Things that you did in the past, but you don't do them anymore in the present. So that's like a special case for the past. But here, if you want to say no suelo ir en autobús, I don't use to travel, is not correct. What you would want to say is I don't usually travel by bus, or I don't normally take the bus, or something similar. Yeah, and I'd like to add one more. This is nice too. Let's eat before to go shopping.
Vamos a comer antes de ir a comprar.
Let's eat before to go shopping. Well, this is not correct. You are not supposed to use the to infinitive, but the gerund. So, let's eat before going shopping. This would be a good choice. Or you could also say, let's eat before we go shopping. Before we go shopping. Now let's do some translation. How would you say the following in English?
Te recomiendo que veas la exposición. Es fantástica.
Second, mañana iremos a la montaña. Third, ¿te acuerdas lo que me dijiste el otro día sobre él?
And the fourth,
nunca compro ropa por internet. Siempre voy a las tiendas. So, these would be some tasks, things to translate for next time. So, why don't you just go at it and try. And I'll give you the answers in the next program. Now, remember last time in the previous program, I asked you some quiz questions. And, well, let's take a look at the answers now. The first question was, which planet is further away from the Earth, Venus or Mars? And the answer is Mars. The second question was, cats or rabbits live longer? Well, it is cats that live longer. Next one. Which city in Canada gets more rain per year? Prince Rupert or Vancouver? Well, both cities get a lot of rain, but Prince Rupert gets more. It's actually the rainier of the two cities. Now, which river is longer was the next question. St. Lawrence in Canada or the Volga in Russia? And it is the Volga in Russia. It is 2,193 miles long, while St. Lawrence is 1,945 miles long. Which is the world's heaviest animal? It is the blue whale with 190,000 kilograms of weight. Now, the last question was, which is the largest museum in the world? And, well, in terms of visitors and not square meters, actually, I'm not sure. I don't know if you know or if you've been able to find out, but in Europe, it seems that the Louvre in Paris is, well, it's said to be one of the largest ones, along with the British Museum in London and the Hermitage in St. Petersburg in Russia. Now, when I gave you this quiz, the idea was, and the idea is, to look for information and look for information in English if possible, so this way you will practice reading and using English. Now, last time, in the previous program, we listened to two songs and there were different things related to those songs that I asked you. Let's take a quick look back. The first song was Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. And I had some questions. And these were, which colors can you not hear in the song? Blue, green, yellow, red, or brown? The answer is yellow and brown are not colors that appear in the song. Second, how does the singer describe the rainbow? Well, he says its colors are pretty. Three, what adjectives go with roses, world, and skies? Well, the roses are red, the world is wonderful, and the skies are blue. And four, what does the singer say about the day? Is it bright or light? And is the night black or dark? Well, the day is bright in the song, and the night is dark. Then there was another song. It was Bruno Mars's Count on Me, and another one of the Beatles, If I Fell. And the question was, what is the common grammar feature that both of these songs have? And well, yes, they had the conditional in them, although different kinds of conditionals in the two songs. Actually, Bruno Mars's song was using the first conditional, and we looked at some grammar explanation for that last time. And this time we're going to take a look at the other conditional, which is which appears in the Beatles song. Actually, in the Beatles song, there's sort of a mix of first and second conditionals. But for now, let's focus on the second conditional. This is the conditional that the title of the song actually suggests. So, the second conditional usually speaks about a situation where there is something that one thinks that could happen, but there is still something or some things missing for that thing to happen. That is, a new or different situation or condition is needed so that the other thing can happen. Now, how does this work in practice? For example, take this. You want to do or have something. For example, you want to do more exercise in the gym. And, well, what you can do now is you can go like once a week, okay? But you want to go three times a week, okay? You want to go three times a week. This is clear. Now, why don't you go if you want to? Well, you don't go because you have no free time or not enough free time. So, in this case, what you would say is this. I would go to the gym three times a week if I had more free time. I would go to the gym three times a week if I had more free time. Now, observe that we have two parts in this sentence, right? We've got the would part and the if part. Now, there is something that you want to do, but you cannot do it. And the reason why you cannot do it is because you've got some obstacle. In this case, the obstacle is that you do not have enough free time. So you say, well, if I had more free time, I would go to the gym three times a week. So you paint, like you change at an imaginary level the present, and you change parts of it in your description. And this way you explain what would happen if the present were different. So, once again, I would go to the gym three times a week if I had more time or more free time. And you can start with the if part. If I had more free time, I would go to the gym 3 times a week. Now observe that in the if part of the sentence, you have a past form of the verb. So you say, if I had more free time. Had is the past form, but the meaning is not past. And in the would part of the sentence, well, you've got the infinitive, yeah? I would go to the gym. I would do this, I would do that, if the condition was given. Some other examples. You live abroad. No, actually, you live away from your hometown, and this is a fact. And another thing is that you cannot visit your parents every weekend, although you would like to, but you cannot because you live away from your hometown, and you just cannot travel every weekend. So you would say, if I didn't live away from my hometown, I would visit my parents every weekend. Or you could just turn it around and say, I would visit my parents every weekend if I lived closer to my hometown. In any case, if I lived, past form, but not past meaning. And if I didn't live away from my hometown, again, it's past form, negative, but not past meaning. Okay, try and translate the following. Lo haría si supiera cómo hacerlo. And te lo diría si ella me dejara. Si me dejara ella, te lo diría. Try to figure these out for next time and we'll talk about them. Yes, it's Create English Story Time, and I'm going to read out a tale to you, a traditional folk tale, actually. This one exists in several languages and cultures, and I've made a small summary for you. The title of the tale is The Stone Soup. Now, what is the stone soup? Una sopa de piedra. Well, yes, this is the story. And I'm going to read the story, but I'm not going to finish it. So I will just leave it up to you to find out what the end of the story might be. So let's get started and listen to this little tale. Once upon a time, there was a young man walking from village to village. All his food was over, and he was very hungry, but nobody offered him food on the way. He decided to stop in the next village and cook some soup, whatever it took to convince a villager. He stopped at a house in the next village, where an old woman was cleaning the porch, and said to her, "Good morning. Nice day, isn't it?"
"Nice, nice, if you say so. But what do you want?" asked the old woman.
"Well, you see, I was just going to ask you if you had some food left from last night's supper. I haven't seen a warm dish for 3 days."
Oh, how sorry I am. I have not a morsel left that I could offer you. My pantry is as empty as your stomach."
Well, thought the young man, if this woman is so frugal, I must find a way to make some warm meal because I'm really hungry.
Don't worry, no problem, said the young man. But do you have a pot, some water and a little fire?
Well, I do have that, but why do you ask?
Because I could prepare some quick stone soup for myself.
Stone soup? Asked the old woman. I have never heard of that.
Oh, well, I'm more than happy to teach you how to make it.
Look, do you see this pebble?
The young man opened his bag and took out a stone of the size of a potato.
With this stone, I can make a delicious soup.
The old woman got very curious, and she wanted to learn how to make a soup using only a stone and some water. The young man cleaned the stone and put it in the pot, filled with water over the fire. He stirred the water with a ladle and tasted it.
It's already very good, but if you just had some lard, maybe, it would give the soup some character.
Lard? I do have some lard left. Let me just bring it.
They added the lard to the water. The young man stirred it and tasted it again.
Fabulous. But, you see, I usually put some sausage in the soup. That's when it is the best.
Sausage? Well, I do have some sausage as well,
revealed the old woman, and returned with a nice pair of sausage that the young man mixed in the soup. He stirred the soup, tasted it, and...
This is where I'm going to stop. And can you guess how the story continues?
Well, yes, the young man keeps on asking for more ingredients, such as onions and salt and potatoes and vegetables. And because the old woman was so curious to know how to make a stone soup, she forgot what she had told the visitor at first, that, you know, she didn't have any food left. And so she continued bringing out all the ingredients the young man asked for. The young man took the stone out, and they both ate two full plates of the delicious broth. And with this little trick, the young man managed to eat some warm food. And then, you know, after saying goodbye to the old woman, he just continued his way. But what do you think? What happened to the stone? Do you think that the young man took it with him? Do you think he left it there for the old woman? Or do you think that he sold the stone to her?
Well, okay, this was our story for today, and let's just see some words that appeared in this little tale. You had the, you know, the once upon a time, the typical beginning, like érase una vez. Then we had this word porch. It's not Porsche. Porch, okay, which would be like the patio. And then we had this word here, oh yeah, the lard. Now, lard is manteca, right? That's what the man asked for. And then pebble. A pebble is like una piedra. Now, another word,
stir. Yeah, stir is revolver, remover la sopa, okay? That's what the young man did. He stirred the soup. And the soup was made in a pot, en una olla. That's where they made the soup. And he stirred the soup with a ladle. With a ladle. This is es un cucharón para servir la sopa. A ladle. And I think that's it. Yeah, so, well, I hope you enjoyed the story. For now, just make sure that you, when you listen to it, listen to the past forms, because this is, you know, a great way to practice the past tense, the narrative past. That is when we tell a story, a tale, we use a great number of past forms. And here you've got lots of verbs in the past form, like, you know, both regular and irregular verbs. So some examples, like the man stopped at a house, this would be regular. Offered, you know, nobody offered him food, regular again. He decided to stop, regular. Just watch the pronunciation. Stopped, decided, offered. And then there are irregular verbs, obviously, like, for example, thought, or the woman got very curious. Get, got, right? Or put, you know, the young man put the stone into the water, and he also kept on asking. He kept on asking for ingredients. This means that he continued asking for ingredients. The story will be available at createenglish.com, and go there, check the radio blog, and you will find the description, the brief description of today's program.
English, create English today.
Go for English, create English.
English, create English today.
Create English, go for English.
Create.
You're listening to Create English on Ripollet Radio. Time for our kids' blog. And in our kids' blog, first we're going to learn the days of the week. So, hello kids, if you would like to practice along, well, you are welcome to sing along, because we're going to do a song. Yes, in this song, which I wrote, which is a very simple song, we are going to learn how to pronounce the days of the week. So let's begin by pronouncing the days first. The first day will be Monday. Make sure that you say ma, ma, not mo, mo. Ma, Monday. Next one, Tuesday. Tu, 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 Tuesday. Next one, Wednesday. 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 Then, Thursday. Thursday. The next day is Friday. Friday. Make sure it's not Friday, it's Friday. And we have two more left. Saturday. Saturday. And Sunday.
Sa. Sunday.
Okay, so I've got my guitar here, listen. You see? And I'm going to play the guitar and I'm going to sing this song for you and then you can practice with me. First, we're going to look at the rhythm of the words. So, the days go like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we've got Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday. So that's 2, 3, and 2 days. That's 7 days altogether. So it goes like this. First, I'm going to play it slowly. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes, so this is our little song for the days of the week. Let's play it again, but now I would like you to sing along, and I'm going to speed it up a bit, so play it a bit faster, livelier, okay? So here we go, and sing along. Just remember, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Ahora vosotros.
1, 2, 3, and
Monday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Saturday, Sunday.
Very good.
You're listening to Create English on Ripollet Radio with Gabor Legradi. And we are in our kids' block. We've just learned the days of the week and we're going to continue with a conversation between Laura and Daniel. Well, if you've been listening to the programs so far, then you will know Laura and Daniel. They are going to talk about the weekend this time, and I have got some questions for you to listen out for. Listen to the conversation and try to answer these questions. The first question is... Did Daniel and Laura have a good weekend? Did Daniel and Laura have a good weekend? The second question. When did Laura go to Girona? When did Laura go to Girona? Question number three. Who did she go with? Who did she go with? Four. When did Daniel do his homework? When did Daniel do his homework? Number five.
What did he do on Saturday afternoon? What did he do on Saturday afternoon? Number 6. Who went for a picnic in the mountain? Who went for a picnic in the mountain? And 7. Where did Laura go on Sunday? Where did Laura go on Sunday?
So, how was your weekend?
It was good. How about yours?
It was great. I had time to do lots of things.
What did you do?
I went to Girona with my family on Friday. On Saturday, I stayed at home. I did my homework, then just read and watched some movies. How about you?
I also went out with my family. We just walked around in the city. On Saturday, I did my homework in the morning because I wanted to play all afternoon.
And what did you do on Sunday?
We went for a picnic in the mountain.
Do you often go to the mountain?
We do. My parents prefer the mountain, but I also like the sea.
Yeah, me too. I went to the sea on Sunday.
Okay, so did you get the answers right? The first question was, did Daniel and Laura have a good weekend? ¿Qué tal el fin de semana de Laura y Daniel? ¿Tuvieron un fin de semana bueno? Yes, they did. Sí. Second question. When did Laura go to Girona? ¿Cuándo fue Laura a Girona? Well, on Friday. 3. Who did she go with? ¿Con quién fue? With her family. Right, number 4. When did Daniel do his homework? ¿Cuándo hizo Daniel sus deberes del cole? On Saturday morning. Number 5. What did he do on Saturday afternoon? ¿Qué hizo el sábado por la tarde? He played. Number 6. Who went for a picnic in the mountain? ¿Quién fue a hacer un picnic en la montaña? Daniel did. And the last question was, where did Laura go on Sunday? ¿A dónde fue Laura el domingo? She went to the sea. And to check the answers, let's listen to the conversation again.
So, how was your weekend?
It was good. How about yours?
It was great. I had time to do lots of things.
What did you do?
I went to Girona with my family on Friday. On Saturday, I stayed at home. I did my homework, then just read and watch some movies. How about you?
I also went out with my family. We just walked around in the city. On Saturday, I did my homework in the morning because I wanted to play all afternoon.
And what did you do on Sunday?
We went for a picnic in the mountain.
Do you often go to the mountain?
We do. My parents prefer the mountain, but I also like the sea.
Yeah, me too. I went to the sea on Sunday.
English, create English today. Go for English, create English.
And we've come to the end today, so I hope you've had a good time. Take care and see you next time.
Creating.